are listening to FBC Perspective, a podcast from First Baptist Church, Kelowna.
Hello from First Baptist Church in Kelowna. This is Pastor Kevin Green. I'm your host, and I'd like to welcome you to our Perspective podcast, where we talk about things that help us live better lives. Today, our guest is Mark Buchanan. Mark, welcome.
Kevin, it's always a pleasure to spend time with you.
Oh, thank you. And Mark is an associate professor of pastoral theology at Ambrose University, and Mark is an author. Mark's written many books. I'm not even sure how many it is now, Mark. How many books have you written?
Well, the book we'll be talking about today is my 10th published book.
It's your 10th book, okay.
And I say published because I've started a lot that I've never finished.
Well, I look forward to those.
Thank you.
So today we're talking, like Mark said, about his latest book. It's called God Walk, and it's about walking. And I actually think it's a really timely book, since a lot of us are walking more than ever because of this COVID-19 virus. And Mark, I would just like to know, why did you write a book about walking?
Well, I started this book a couple of years ago, Kevin, so nobody knew what COVID was or even coronavirus except scientists. And I got intrigued by the concept of walking, primarily initially for this reason, that Christianity is the most incarnational faith. So really, you know, Christ comes and takes on flesh, and we're supposed to embody that which we believe. And yet we don't, within Christianity, have a corresponding physical discipline, like Hinduism has yoga, for instance. And I simply got wondering about that. And then I realized, oh my goodness, it's always been there. It's hinted or outright stated in Scripture that people of faith walk. And walking is integral to their identity, integral to their faith. And I got intrigued for that reason. It's not like I'm a great walker. In fact, in one of the chapters, I document some issues I had with my leg that, you know, remain mysterious to this day. And so for me, a 5-6 kilometer walk is a pretty heroic act. Uh-huh. So I'm not some great hiker or walker or trekker. I just really got interested in how scriptures connect this embodiment of our faith with actually the physical act of walking.
And Mark, there's this historical term called Godspeed, and it's this idea that God walks at 3 miles per hour. And I'll explain that a bit, or 4.8 kilometers an hour. And I want to tell you that I actually tried it. I set my watch and walked at 4.8 kilometers an hour. And I'm going to be honest, I was surprised how fast it was. I thought it was going to be a real slow kind of plodding walk, but it wasn't fast, but it was definitely deliberate. What do you think makes 3 miles per hour special?
Yeah, well, I think, a lot of walking is purposeful, especially in former ages where that's how a lot of people got around. So there's a purposefulness. Often now you and I will walk simply to go look at the scenery or get exercise, but there's a purposefulness. You're going to the next village or whatever. And so there's a sense of it's driven by a destiny. And so I think that good clip is, in some sense, I'm going to get from here to there. So it's a weird thing historically where walking wasn't particularly for its own sake. It was for the sake of something else, but something happened in the walking that I don't think is beside the point. But yeah, there's a famous book by the Japanese theologian Kosaka Koyomi called The 3-Mile-an-Hour God. And his point is that that's primarily the speed at which God moves. And so I actually initially had titled this book Godspeed, but for various reasons changed it to God Walk. But I'm intrigued by that idea that so much happens at 3 miles an hour.
Yeah, I'm actually really intrigued also by this idea that walking is a journey to get somewhere, but how you've integrated walking with our spiritual journey, physical, emotional, mental, and the physical act of covering distance is actually only part of the journey that walking helps us with, isn't it?
Yeah, very much. Like again, I do a lot in the book with the stories of Jesus walking or Abraham walking or Paul walking. And you don't ever get the sense that Jesus or Paul said, you know, I need a good hike in the mountains today and didn't work off last night's dinner or whatever, so I'm going for a hike. And yet, even there, you get the sense that it was more, it was about more than simply, I've got to go from tired aside, and so I'm going to, you know, the only real mode of transportation is my feet. There's a sense that there's an intentionality beyond the getting from one place to another. There's intentionality around the building of community, around the sorting through and working through of some personal issue. And of course, that later gets in the history of Christianity. It transmogrifies into the pilgrimage, where you intentionally set out on a journey that is transformative in some way. You're working out something in some way.
Mm. Hey, I'd like to read a quote from your book, if that's okay.
Oh, I'd love that. Yeah.
Because I think for me, this quote captures the integration of walking as a journey, a discipline, a habit that has this impact on all areas of our life. And this is what you say. Walking is a picture of working out our salvation. It's a picture of working faith into the grain of our days, the sinew of our muscles, the marrow of our bones, the rhythm of our breathing. Walking depicts how we get hope deep in our bellies. So Mark, I think one of the things that captures me about your book is how you've integrated walking as a way that impacts every area of our lives.
Yeah, Kevin, I was so surprised when I decided this was the theme I was going to walk on. And you know, a full disclosure, when I set out to write a book, I set out with only partially knowing anything about the thing I'm writing about. And, you know, so maybe 30, 40 pages into writing a book, I've pretty much tapped out. I don't have anything more residing within me that I can say a meaningful thing about that topic. So when I set out to write this book on walking, I got about 40 pages into it, and pretty much everything I knew about walking I'd already said. So at that point, I either abandoned the book or I start the research. And obviously with this, I started to research. Well, I was stunned as I got into the research. All of these benefits of walking that I was completely unaware of. For instance, walking over uneven ground is working out a whole range of muscles throughout our body that, say, walking on a flat paved surface is not doing. So I found out. I mean, intuitively I should have known this, but the research bears it out over and over. You know, to go for a walk, like you and I and our wives went for a walk quite recently in a beautiful park right beside your house, up and down, over tree roots, all of that, all on even surfaces. Well, the benefit to our overall physical health, because we walk that trail, and even our sense of equilibrium and balance, and how do you navigate a steep little cut of a trail, et cetera, that's having benefit that is going to, you know, have ongoing sort of repercussions for our health. The fact that when we walk in a forest like we did that day, it turns out that the actual scent of certain trees is not simply a delight to our sense of smell, but it actually, these things have healing properties in them, something actually native communities have known for centuries. And so all of this began to emerge out of the research. It became more and more intriguing. In fact, in the end, this book is, you know, 200 and something pages long, 250 or so. I had to pare down a lot of what I'd written. I ended up dumping out several thousand words simply because I got too interested in all of these diverse little elements of walking that really became irrelevant to the central theme I was pursuing here. But so I love that you identified that quote. I wasn't even thinking as that quote is summing up really a lot what I'm trying to do in this book, but I think it is the sense that when you walk, you don't have to be even thinking, oh, I'm going for a walk to integrate, you know, my faith with my rest of my life, or in order to kind of get my breathing regulated or something. It's going to happen as a matter of course. And quite stunning, this simplicity of God's, you know, creativity, or the complexity and simplicity of God's creativity in making us bipedal and walking creatures.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that really grabbed me about your book, was just the integration of physical, spiritual, emotional, and mental well-being that's captured by walking. I mean, it was kind of surprising for me. And I also want to say that there is beautiful language and writing in this book, which is, Mark, is pretty typical of you. And the book left me hungry and actually inspired to see walking as an awakening of sorts in my life. And I just, like, to me, it sounds like you're saying that walking actually can help us live better lives in a kind of a wide margin of ways. Can you explain that?
Yeah, I thank you for saying that, both about the kind words about the writing itself, but also you really get the book. And that's, you know, to an author, that matters deeply, Kevin. I really think that walking does make us better humans. And one of the ways it does that is I make the argument in the book that we actually start to see life at the scale and at the pace it was meant to be experienced. So coming back to this 3-mile-an-hour God, this moving at the speed of your soul, that's actually the subtitle of my book, God Walk, that when we're driving in a car, we're not seeing things at the pace or the scale that they were actually created by the Creator to be seen or experienced. That doesn't mean we ought not to use cars. It just means that if that is our primary experience of getting around, there's going to be something skewed in the way we even understand the creation of the world around us. And so I think there's a scale of things, and we experience something closer to like God's reality when we actually see it at the scale of walking and take it in at the pace of walking. I would, you know, your listeners will think quickly once I say it of a neighborhood that they've maybe lived in for, you know, a long time. And maybe in this season of COVID, they started walking around their neighborhood in ways they simply hadn't before. And it's stunning experience because you've been driving this thing for maybe 10 or 12 years. And suddenly you say, did you ever notice that house there or that shrub there or whatever? And that, I think, would be a good testimony to this noticing when you start to move at that pace and live at that scale. The other thing related to that, I was doing a webinar a couple of weeks ago on this book with a bunch of pastors. And I said, how many of you have had some deep problem, personal problem, professional problem, marital problem, whatever it happened to be? And the only way you really got the perspective on it is you had to go for a long walk. And virtually everybody said, yeah. Yeah, well, it was me. It didn't happen by sitting around brooding. In fact, that tended to make it worse. They had to go for a walk. And I have a number of stories like that in my book. A lot of having to do with working out my own demons, to be honest. But there's a sense where, how can we account for that other than God built something into this act of walking where he kind of meets us? The Road to Emmaus story, which I've loved for, and I use it in probably 3 of my books, including this one, where we find on this journey where we're working through deep stuff, and suddenly we find that a voice is speaking to us, something's burning within us, some insight is coming to us. We hardly know from where until a bit later when we think about it. But I think that God has woven all of that, those potentials, into the simple act of walking.
Yeah, I'll tell you that one of the things I did to prepare for this podcast was actually to go for a walk. I thought it would be fitting for myself to do that. And you know, what I was anticipating was that I would be thinking about the podcast. But what I noticed about walking is thoughts unbidden come to your mind, you know, that you wouldn't notice before, right? Yeah. So I actually thought, oh, I'm going to get on this. But then all this other stuff came up. What, have you noticed that too?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I think and lots of the research I did covers exactly that point that you just made. I love the thing, thoughts unbidden come, that There's something about going for a walk that releases, and we know physiologically that there's certain things being released, endorphins and whatnot, but that there, it's releasing something that often is bound up or shut up in us when we're in a place of sedentariness. And so I have a phrase in the book, you know, that walking open doors, that sitting, you know, keeps tight or shut tight or whatever. And I think that's true in our areas of imagination, creativity, relationship. I think of how many times I've had some strain in a relationship, maybe in my marriage or with a friend or whatever, and the walking is part of the healing.
So would you say that walking actually seems like a form of listening? Because it brings things up in your mind that, you know, you maybe wouldn't have been attentive to before. It's kind of like when we're stressed, our bodies actually know before our minds. And it seems like there's something about walking that uncorks that and brings it to the surface.
I love that. I mean, I don't think I put it quite like that in the book, that walking is a form of listening. What I do say is it's a form of communing. And so I think of communing in this very large sense of attentiveness, of attending to the other, attending to myself, attending to the world within me, that there's a kind of communication and a community being built that maybe wouldn't happen if I was simply driving a car. Again, I drive all the time. And so it's a fairly effective, efficient way to get from, you know, more than about 2 kilometers. But I think about, you know, times I've been in, say, a stress relationship, and it's weird, if you go for a drive, it usually makes it worse, at least in my experience. There's something about the interior of a car that, you know, enhances that kind of tension and the broodingness and all of that.
Right.
The walking, and there's a whole bunch of dimensions to this, the physical activity, the side-by-sideness, but you're actually having to move together, where as opposed to something carrying you to that place. This that you have smells and sounds and air that's either warm or cold or whatever around you, I think enhance the sense of that you're working something out together. And so I think, again, you know, I think of all the times I've had some tense situation and we sit, you know, across from one another or sit at a table and try to work it out. And it just usually, at least initially, that heightens some of the tension. And I'm not saying, you know, walking is magically in every case solve those things. It just is a different dynamic. And I say it again, I think the walking is part of the healing.
Well, actually, it's funny because in your book, you do have a story about your son, Adam, putting a dent in your car while you were away. I guess he was, for those who haven't read Mark's book yet, Adam was 13, I think.
Yeah, 13.
And he decided to play a prank. But in playing the prank, he actually put a big dent in the car. And actually, that was funny because when I read that, I thought, I've got a son who's learning how to drive. So I was actually thought, I'm going to take him for a drive tonight. But I was captured actually by how you went for a walk and how that changed you and brought to mind, maybe unbidden, your encounter with your dad when, you know, and then you went back and had a successful encounter with Adam that was just full of grace and forgiveness. And I just think walking, actually, it seems like you're saying, can help us make better decisions and makes us more reflective in difficult conversations, or at least it can.
Yeah, I really do. And that story is particularly illustrative in my own life of that, because I was quite murderous toward the lad and just fuming and to the point where in the book I talk about almost reaching diabolical proportions, the level of my anger, frustration, fear about how to solve it, etc. So that was a very, really, very long walk, and God did bring to mind a thing where I did something dumb with my dad's car, and yeah, there's lots of grace from him, which was I was surprised by, and yeah, so I came back and I was a different person. It didn't feel like even like I made a better decision. I felt altered. That God encountered me on that walk that had ministered something to me in some deep place that I could respond in a remarkably, dramatically, radically different way than I was going to if I had have reacted in the moment. And so I honestly, theologically, psychologically, Kevin, I'm not smart enough to put all that together. I just know that the person I was when I started the walk and the person I was when I would finish the walk feels like two different people.
It, you know, it reminds me a bit of the advice that we have when we're writing a heated email to let it sit, to let it sit in the draft. That, I mean, maybe that's incomplete. You type it out, put it in your draft, and then go for a walk.
You know, I would highly recommend that.
Mark, you talk about the practice of walking before you preach and how it would get the message deep into your belly. How do you think walking got it there?
Yeah. I recite what we've already talked about, you know, all of these elements of walking that we're not attentive or necessarily paying attention to or even need to while we walk, but something's happening at all of these levels, physically, spiritually, emotionally, et cetera. For me, the walking and preaching, and this was a long, long established habit, it really had to do with letting the text encounter me in a way that even in my study it had not. So as you know, as a preacher and a very good preacher that you are, Kevin, you're not really ready to preach until that text is kind of messed with you, right? It's worked you over. It's punched you out. It's, you know, wrestled you to the ground, all that stuff. Well, this, the walking, the last bit before I preached is always walking. And it did it. It took it to a new level where I felt literally that this text was, I was embodying it and encountering it in a way I hadn't in my study. And I don't know, maybe it would have been just as good or better or whatever if I'd started the sermon with a walking. So I went and walked it out before. I don't know. I didn't experiment enough and everyone's going to be different anyhow. I just know that the difference I felt after an hour walk or whatnot, after the sermon was already crafted, all of the exegesis done, all the all the preparation of thinking, how am I going to deliver that bit? But going for the walk, I got it so deep in me. And I think I say in the book, the emotion would come there. I would rarely have emotion in the preparation.
Right.
But the emotion in that working out how I was going to say this and how I was going to bring this forth, it was often overwhelming. I'd often have to stop my walking as I gathered my emotions in some forest or whatever where I was walking. And I have to say the number of times that I really felt freshly convicted and confronted by the Holy Spirit on those walks, where somehow I'd missed it in the earlier preparation where the Spirit wanted to say, yeah, what about that? You know, you're talking to these people about kindness,
right? And, right. Know,
whatever. What about that? Right. And I got slammed so many times. It was very, very humbling and cathartic, and all of those other things. But you know, I'm not a pastor anymore. I still do a fair amount of preaching, but it's a rare time where I don't preach. Where I you know, even if I'm in another town, I try to get and do at least a half hour walk before the preaching because it's so helpful for this process.
So Mark, if our listeners want to incorporate a discipline of walking into their lives, do you have any suggestions or tips for them how to start doing that and what to look for?
Yeah, I would say I'm not into heroic walking. So I have one chapter on, you know, pilgrimages and great treks and all of that, but I'm actually, I'm not really advocating for you should save up your money and go and do the El Camino in Spain or something. I think those are all great, and I've done some longer treks, but I'm into the ordinary walking. And I would say to listeners, if it hasn't become a habit of walking, and I try to walk, you know, maybe I miss a day a week, but I try to get out for a 4 or 5 kilometer walk every day. But you don't have to overwhelm yourself. You can say, am I within walking distance to the grocery store? Could 2 days a week I actually make it a walk? Are there things where, if I walk three times around the block or whatever, that's enough to get me started. But to do this, and I wouldn't be, in my book, I have lots of, I call them Godspeed chapters, which here, why don't you try this?
Right.
But I would simply get your legs moving. If it's been a while, for many in this COVID age, that's what we've resorted to. The gyms were closed and
right.
There's nowhere to go in a car and all that.
Yeah.
So maybe they're well underway, but if it's fairly new, I would say just get your legs moving under you. I wouldn't even make it about the number of steps you've right. taken. So, you know, you've got to have your Bit phone or whatever they're called. I would just say, get walking. And then I think some reflection during and after, what did I notice? What did I see? What did I feel that, I don't think I would have just kept sitting here or whatever. And I would always encourage some portion of your walking being prayer. It doesn't have to be where you're, you know, declaiming out loud so your neighbors think you're nuts or anything, but sort of soaking what you see. You walk by a playground, you see children, you pray blessing on them, safety on them. You see your neighbors, you pray God would encounter them in good and surprising ways, whatever. But I think that saturation of the experience brings God, who is already present. He makes we become present to him when we do those sort of things.
Mark, I just want to say thank you for your book. And I feel like it has actually helped me see walking in a different way. And
very cool.
I look forward to walking more and all the benefits that brings, all the listening, all the calming down, all that sort of stuff. So thank you very much.
Kevin, it's such a pleasure. Always a joy to spend time with you.
Thanks so much, Mark. So, hey, thank you for listening. And I hope you feel better equipped to deal with life than you did before. And it's been great to talk about things that help us live better lives. I look forward to connecting with you on our next podcast. And until next time, keep the faith and live in hope.
Thank you so much for listening. Please subscribe so that you can catch all our future episodes. You can search for us as FBC Perspective on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.